T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Audio from TNT. As always, I think Kevin Harlan's priorities were in the right place. Why? These are world-class athletes. I'm sure the collision in the first row was fine, but that bracelet did pop off the screen.
It absolutely did, but I wonder about the perspective, as Kevin Harlan is so stunned, rightly, by the bracelet on Usher. Is he comparing it to bracelets he himself owns, or other bracelets he's seen in the front row of NBA games? Like, how thick is your gold, Kevin Harlan? I don't know the answer to that.
Did you see the size of that bracelet? I mean, it was huge.
It was awesome. I believe it was braided. I tried to zoom in a little bit.
You don't strike me as a bling guy, Kevin.
I'm not.
Maybe.
And then he was holding on. Like he took that braceleted hand and kind of wrapped it around the guy's waist, and there they were. And there was a lot of money tied up in that collision. That was pretty impressive.
Do you own a gold bracelet? You can tell us.
No.
Come on, Kevin.
No,
you're big in the business.
I have a gold wedding ring on, and that's the only gold I have.
How fun was that game and the pace of the NBA? I mean, as a guy who's done NBA games as long as you have, it's incredibly fun to watch those two styles play against each other.
Yeah, that offense. You know, the top two scoring teams in the league, you knew they were going to hoist a bunch of threes, and they did. And you get, you know, the mixture of guys like this Gerald Green, who's been a long-time NBA guy and kind of floated around from team to team, won a couple slam dunk competitions 10 years ago or whatever, and kind of an afterthought. He's sitting at home on his couch in Boston like last Wednesday night, and the phone rings, and it's Daryl Morey from the Houston Rockets. He says, hey, can you come over for a little shoot-around tomorrow as we're warming up here for a game tonight against the Celtics? And he does, and he shows up, and they sign him, and then they say, hey, can you get on the bus? We're going to go down to Washington and play tomorrow night. Well, I join us because Harden is out and they need more scoring and some three-point shooting, and they got that, and they just guaranteed his contract for the rest of the year this morning. So he is in Houston where he grew up, and he is, if he can stay as hot as he's been, and he's been incredibly hot the last week. I mean, this team is not going to feel the absence of Harden, and maybe they can weather the storm and stay afloat and as the second-best team in the West.
I love that the Rockets are making it their stated goal. Like, they're not running from the Warriors. They're trying to run at them, and they're trying to out-warrior the Warriors. Do you think they can when healthy?
Well, that is, you know, I don't know if anybody can. If the Warriors are playing their game and not turning it over, which is a big Achilles heel, if they don't turn it over, then they are, I think, unbeatable. They lead the league in assists. They average 30 assists a game. They've done it for two straight years. No team has ever done that before in NBA history. We know they've got maybe two Player of the Year candidates, MVP candidates on their team, and two other All-Stars, which means that in the starting five, they've got four All-Stars. And they're young, and they're healthy. And Steve Kerr this year told us that he's going to do the Popovich method, and that is, I'm resting players. I don't care where we are, what the conditions are, and who we're playing. I'm resting them. And if they've got even the slightest nick, they're going to sit. And I'm looking at April, May, and June. And that is the philosophy they now take. They don't care how many regular season wins they have. They got their 31st last night, which is number one in the league. But I think they're going to change their philosophy just a little bit and work about the schedule as they do, but health is going to be at the top of the list, and rest, and so they go in with fresh legs once the playoffs start in April.
Boy, those are good problems to have. Already got the 70-win season out of the way, you know? Already got the title out of the way. Might as well move on to other pursuits. Unbelievable. Kevin, we were talking about this kid Trae Young at Oklahoma, and all these young players who are coming up as part of the Steph Curry generation is how the Wall Street Journal wrote it in a piece yesterday. And I love Steph and adore the way he plays and think it's so valuable and so cool. But Do you take him top five in a redraft right now in the NBA? Because LeBron goes first, and Durant goes ahead of him, too. Does Kawhi Leonard go before him? Like, as great as Steph is, I wonder if he's still, you know, just outside of top five or right around there.
Well, great question. I think he is top five, and I love the five that you've rattled off, the four you rattled off. I would definitely put Kawhi when healthy. Of course, we don't really know if he's going to regain what he once was, but I think he will, and he's missed the first part of this season. I love Curry's game, and I love shooting, and I love it more than the dunks. I just think the skill required and the things you've got to do and the screens you've got to come off, the reads you've got to make, the excellence, the repetition, all the things that, you know, anybody can dunk, but how many guys can shoot like Curry or Ray Allen or Reggie Miller or this kid at Oklahoma? I mean, I love that we're getting shooters out there. It makes the game, like last night's game, what if we had 50 three-point attempts and they made close to half, and it's like art. It's when you see guys shoot like that, and when you're at mid-court and you can really watch the setup of how they catch and fire or catch and move and dribble and set and shoot or step back or whatever they do to get open to fire. That to me is just, that's graceful. It's skill. It's everything you want. And the kid can handle the ball. He's a point guard. He's a willing passer. He's long enough and cat-like quick enough that he can defend and deflect balls. I just think he's got about everything you'd want. So when you're looking, you know, Kyrie Irving is probably in that top 10 conversation. You know, Anthony Davis, when he's healthy at New Orleans, is in that conversation. James Harden is certainly a top five player. I mean, you know, that's what's great about the NBA is, like, you can name these these guys, and there are at least 10 and maybe 15 deep that could all be in the conversation for the top five. In the NFL, you namely just talk about quarterbacks, who are the best quarterbacks. But, you know, it's sometimes hard to distinguish between receivers and left tackles and cornerbacks and middle linebackers and everything else. But in the NBA, it's so recognizable, and they're so impactful that that's what makes it so fun to have that discussion. Who is your top five? Curry to me. Curry's in the top seven. Harden is in the top five. LeBron, you've just rattled off the names KD, LeBron. Kawhi is in that group. There's so many great players. Gosh, it's hard to start dissecting where they should fit.
Yeah, the league is in a very healthy place right now. Kevin Harlan, one of the most iconic broadcasters and voices in the game right now, is our guest on the Grossinger Auto Group Hotline, and he's calling Falcons and Rams for Westwood One Saturday night. You could hear that game along with every NFL playoff game from Westwood One right here on The Score. That's my game of the weekend, Kevin. It's the NFC champs and the experience of the Falcons and the upstart Rams, the youngest team in the NFL. What other storylines do you like for that game you've got Saturday night?
Well, can the reigning MVP recapture what they had last year? Have they gotten some traction by working their way through the most difficult division in pro football? And have they weathered the storm and the grind of the regular season? Are they renewed by the challenge of trying to seek revenge and go out there against a beatable LA Rams team, which has been arguably the best single story in the league this year with an MVP candidate in Gurley, you know, a number one overall pick that people thought was a bust in Goff, the preeminent defensive player in the league in Aaron Donald. I mean, you know, the best wide receiver in the game, perhaps, and Julio Jones. I mean, we've got great star power. There are terrific storylines. The playoffs going back to Los Angeles for the first time, and who knows, since the mid-90s, early 90s. I mean, in the historic Coliseum, I'm in Houston right now getting ready to catch a plane. I can't wait to get out there and see if the city is a little bit energized by this. I know as a football fan, I can't wait. I think this is the most intriguing game. The Tennessee-Kansas City game does nothing for me right now, especially with DeMarco Murray being out. It's going to be some defense, I think, which will get Jacksonville by Buffalo. And then I don't know what Cam Newton's going to show up against New Orleans, but I know this. New Orleans right now is about as dangerous a team as there is out there, with the quarterback who's going to the Hall of Fame, two running backs who could just completely annihilate any defense they see, underrated receivers, and young, aggressive defensive players on that side that Sean Payton has rebuilt that team in the last 3 years after three successive 7-9 seasons. But with all those games being talked about, to me, the best one is Atlanta and the Rams. And that could be really our first big kind of sea change in the playoff picture. Atlanta advancing, gaining some momentum, some traction, as I said, and making a move. They could be a real interesting opponent, and especially if we got these teams from the South meeting each other down the road, which could happen. I mean, it makes for a very entertaining month of January.
It's almost like he's, good at hyping games. Like, I got a lot of stuff out of that. Got a lot.
Have you done this before?
Whoa. Yeah. Seriously, 93,000 seats there at the Coliseum. I lived out there for a little while. They barely care about pro sports when it's not the Lakers. You got to convince them to care about the Dodgers even then. But the first playoff game in 40 years for the Rams, at least. And the Rams are who we dream of being, Kevin, here in Chicago, with a quarterback going into his second year. And they found their coach and completely turned around the quarterback. You think there's any chance that the Bears can do what the Rams have done, or are we unrealistic in that regard?
Well, your most important relationship in that building is your head coach and your quarterback. And everything begins with that. And which makes this Brady Belichick thing so interesting coming out of Foxborough today. But your quarterback and head coach, that is where it begins. And that is where Sean McVay took that with Jared Goff. He says he watched the tape and he did a great job with Kirk Cousins in Washington. We know that. But he's gotten into this kid's head, organize the game in such a way where he can thrive in such a very short time in the league. He's got an MVP candidate in back of him in Gurley. He's got a terrific left tackle who has changed the entire complexion of that line in Whitworth, who was let go by Cincinnati. Like I said, they got the best defensive lineman in pro football, best defensive player in pro football in Aaron Donald. And he has gotten to each of those guys, even though Donald didn't go to training camp and held out. Remember, showed up like the first week of the season. But he has done something that a veteran like Jeff Fisher could not do, and that was get everybody on the same page, make it fun again, believe in the fact that a Gurley could come back and after a horrible season last year and a 1,000-yard season as a rookie could come back, reclaim his career, and did. And he's just put people in the right position to succeed, and that's what coaching is. What do I have? What are they best at? And let's funnel them down that road. And that's what it's pretty simple. So if you find a guy like Mitch who's there and well thought of by a lot of scouts, who's going to be a young quarterback in Chicago and hopefully there for a long time, you find a coach, Matt Nagy at Kansas City, some guy that knows how to talk to these quarterbacks, organize the game, do whatever they need to do to channel that guy into being the best he can be and what he was in college and see if it can, and it can happen. We've seen it in Los Angeles. I think we see it all over the league. And that the rub, though, is finding that right guy. And that's where it takes a very adroit general manager and football operation to find that right guy. And that's where the Bears will be tested.
Kevin Harlan is our guest. He's calling Falcons and Rams on Westwood One. You could hear it Saturday night on The Score. Again, all NFL playoff games you can hear on The Score. You mentioned the Patriots, Brady, Belichick, Kraft, quack Dr. Guerrero story. What's your biggest takeaway from the Patriots story today?
The greatest takeaway is they've all been together for, 18 years, and this is really the first turbulence that they've ever had outside of the ball and outside of the filming in the end zone during the game, which were, I think, us against them. This is internal combustion, and the fact that they've won so much, had an ever-changing roster. They've done this for 18 years, and this is really the first real crack in their facade, to me, is amazing. With the coverage they get, the way people talk about them, the lack of Hall of Famers that have played with Brady. I mean, really, on one hand, with minus a couple fingers, that's who he's played with, Hall of Fame guys. Maybe his tight end now, Moss at the end of his career, Seau at the end of his career. But, I mean, really, who Hall of Fame-wise has Brady played with? And he's taken less money to stay. He's been the Patriot first and foremost. He's believed in the words coming out of Belichick and the coaching staff. And yet this is the first thing that has really erupted in that triumvirate, in that entire scenario. I think that That is amazing. And I think they'll weather this. I think it's probably there, where there's smoke, there's fire, so there's something there. I think Brady is feeling the pressure of time, and that he's been horrible this month of December, and they've had such excellence, but he knows his story is coming to a close. I'm sure there are emotions there that we can't even imagine. And his best buddy, his big confidant, has been shunned by the team. Mm-hmm. Belichick wants control, and Brady knows it. So I think they'll survive. I think this will bring them together even more. I think they're going to make another January run.
You know, we were having some fun this morning thinking about the prospect of Bill Belichick on the open market. And, like, how many organizations would not blow up their entire power structure to give Bill Belichick control? You know, it's like we were under 10 on the list. It's like you do what you have to do. And I would bet that just in case it did happen that way, let's say Kraft forced Garoppolo out and Belichick's like, you know what? I think I'm done. They win a Super Bowl. He decides to walk off at 66. I bet he'd want to coach somewhere again for 5 or 6, 7 more years.
He might. I could easily see it. It's in their blood. That's what he is. That's what his dad was. And that's it. He's young enough. 66 is young by a lot of standards now, and I think his health is good. He's had the benefit of a Hall of Fame quarterback for sure, but I think he had another real bright prospect in Garoppolo. And if this is true, and the owner made him trade, I think above anything else, I think ownership getting involved in football is the most detested thing that could come across Belichick's path. And this seems to be, if it's true, if it is true, one of those things which I could find Belichick thinking is so detestable that I'm having a guy who's a non-football guy come in here and try to tell me what to do when I have plotted and planned and given everything I've got. And now it's the owner's right, but it's not Belichick's right to be under that kind of auspices. And I think he may say, I said, that's it. There's a lot of willing owners out there that would say, I won't even say boo. You can tell me when to blank. I won't even open the door. It is yours. Take it and run. I think that would happen in about 24 hours. So I think until now, Kraft has been fully supportive. But for whatever reason, the owner and the quarterback have got a real interesting relationship. And it's not unlike a father and son. And if there was some pressure there that Garoppolo inadvertently was applying on Brady, and that was causing Brady problems and concern and some anxiety, it would not surprise anybody, I think, to have the owner step in and say, we got to do something about Garoppolo. We can't pay him all this money next year when he's free. Let's send him now and get something in return. But it makes no sense because Brady's 40, and he's starting to show cracks in his own personal play. This is a very interesting scenario. It's going to be fun to watch and see how it evolves.
Hey, Kevin, I've got a guess as to what the answer to this is, but when people come up to you when you're on the road, walking around town, wherever, what's the thing that they recognize you or say, I know you from fill in the blank the most at?
Two things, probably, and not many people do that, but two things if it is ever the LeBron James dunk in the playoffs against Garnett. In the 2007,
no regard for human life.
No, that, which is just weird. And then the drunk running out on the field last year in San Francisco. Those are of all the things I've been able to call and work on. That's what I'm remembered for, which I don't know is much. But
yeah, you don't like either of them. It sounds like
they are nice to even think about that. You know, I'm
you don't get
anonymous.
To choose. You don't get to choose though which ones they remember, right?
Yeah, no, you don't. And that's all right if that's what they found fun. I mean, we're all in this candy shop anyway, aren't we? Doing this job and being able to cover these teams. And, I mean, this isn't even work. It's like it's a hobby. So if that's what they like, that's great. And but anyway, that's what they would – that's what they
probably – I was going to guess 2K. I was going to guess the voice of 2K.
Oh, well, that would probably be number three. Yeah,
okay,
I sign a lot of those. I sign a lot of those at games. That 2K thing has just been. I had a producer at CBS one time when I first got that, which was in 2005. Said, "You know what you've done here?" I said, "What?" He goes, "He said every kid that plays that game, like from the time they're 7, 8 years old, like they're going to grow up with your voice and associated with the NBA, and I never really thought about that, but now those kids that were 7 and 8 back in 2005 are now like 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old people, You know, and that's what's weird is to see the older group come out, and then a lot of mom and dads would say, I'm so tired of your voice. All my kid does is play that game in the basement. I'm tired of hearing you scream and yell all the time. But they play it, thank God. It's a lot of fun to do, and I'm honored to be a part of it. And the league is, that's the league's game. So it's their official NBA game, and it's an honor to be a part of that in every way.
Well, what you had just said a moment ago about, like, can you believe we get to play in this candy shop? You can hear it in your genuine joy for doing the games, no matter what the sport. It's always, always contagious. So that's appreciated.
Well, thank you.
Congrats on your daughter Olivia expanding the Harlan Empire. For those who don't know, Kevin's father Bob, longtime Packers PR guy, now CEO in Green Bay, and you got brother Brian, agent to the stars for decades, and
now this man's business in the street.
Well, then here's Olivia. Is that fun to have her check out the business as an up-and-comer?
It is. I told her not to get in the business because it was very unforgiving, and I think we've seen here over the last couple months with all these high-powered media people leaving because of sexual harassment accusations, just how hard it is for a woman. And she went to the University of Georgia, which is one of the top five journalism schools in the country.
Yep.
And learned her craft and worked hard, and I'm very proud of her, and she takes it seriously, and we talk a lot, and I watch her games, and she wants feedback, and she wants to get better, and she's learning a lot and working hard, and that's as a father, and she likes it, which is, I guess, what any parent would want for their kid, to wake up every morning and when their feet hit the ground say, I cannot wait to get to work. I cannot wait to go cover this event or do this game or travel to this city and meet with this coach. And I'm real. She's like her grandfather. She's got great PR. She's works hard at it and enjoys it very, very much.
Well, Kevin, thank you for the time. Have a good call Saturday night, and we'll be listening right here on The Score.
Thank you so much. Enjoyed it, and a belated Happy New Year to both of you and all your great listeners in Chicago.
Thank you, Kevin.
Happy New Year. That's Kevin Harlan from Westwood One, the NBA on TNT, Monday Night Football on the radio, and again, every NFL playoff game you can hear right here on The Score, and the voice of NBA 2K as well.
He's just always been one of the good ones. Always been like crazy kind, enjoying himself, enjoying his life, enjoying the ball games, and it comes across, doesn't it?
They said it well in transition yesterday. He loves games.
Yeah.
He loves games. He loves going to games, getting the best seat in the house, and being able to do games.
And I want to hear it. I want to hear it coming off the TV, and you always do.
Yeah.
And the radio.
His voice feels big game. And I listened to his podcast with Richard Deitch, and Deitch asked him a great question about if he had any sort of career regret of rising up as high as he has, but he'll never be the face of a network. Like Mike Breen has the NBA Finals.
Right.
Buck, Costas, Michaels, Nance. Like, he's never like that number one guy, but he's like, listen, I do Monday Night Football. I do the Super Bowl. I do the Western Conference playoffs. I do TNT. He's like, I got a great gig. You know what I mean? I was able to broadcast for my alma mater. Mm-hmm. I've been able to set my family up. I've introduced my daughter into the business. I've covered the greatest athletes of a generation. Like, he's like, I've had it pretty darn good. So yeah. If I'm not Jim Nance, it's okay. I've had an unbelievable career, and I've seen some unbelievable games.
Man, and if you can't get happy with having reached that level, then you're in for some disappointing years.
But I thought it was a fair question by Deitch,
sure,
because he's absolutely as good of a broadcaster as those guys, but it's a little bit of circumstance as to like what network you end up with and what rights deals they cut and all of that. But I like what I like about him as a broadcast dork. Equally as good at TV and radio.
For sure.
And they are very different.
Yeah, well, TV and radio and football and basketball, different paces.
Yeah.
Right? So he's got that rhythm down where he slows it down just a little bit for football and you don't even feel it.
Yeah.
Basketball's quicker.
Yeah, he's spectacular. One of our favorite guests of 2017 is back to answer more of our questions and make NFL picks. It's coming up on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Spiegel & Park is on The Score, brought to you by Zillow. With millions of photos of homes for sale and for rent, historical pricing data, and tools to help home buyers find what they're looking for, Zillow, find your way home. We'll get to our celebrity picker in just a minute. After the 12:30 update, no word yet on if the Bears have left for the Josh McDaniels interview, right?
Yeah, as of this morning, they were still interviewing Pat Shurmur, planning to fly to the East to talk to Josh McDaniels tonight. Big storm out there, not supposed to affect those plans. We'll let you know if we know more. Just about everybody we've talked to assumes that there's somebody, there'll be some surprise on the interview list or another one or two coming, maybe a college guy. I loved Hub's thought, got to tell you. Chris Peterson at Boise State. That's a very interesting guy to go and talk to. Offensive mind, obviously insanely creative, has kept things very, very competitive and recruited well, obviously, if you care about that sort of thing.
Well, and I like the idea that Ryan Pace has been bold, traded up for Leonard Floyd, traded up for Mitch Trubisky, overpaid for Mike Glennon. And like that, I don't like the idea that he did that, but the idea was like he had an idea with conviction and he made sure to make the most attractive bid to get his. Mm-hmm. Not all of them have worked, obviously, but you wonder if fortune favors the bold, if he will also be bold with this coaching hire and go a little off the board.
As we go to the update, just seeing this news that John Gruden is getting a 10-year deal from the Raiders worth about $100 million. That according to Adam Schefter.
Okay.
So Hub was thinking that maybe ownership stake would still be a part of it, even if it wasn't discussed openly, but $100 million, 10 years.
Fully guaranteed.
Come coach the Raiders, and in 2 years when you're in Vegas, there is no personal state income tax.
Yeah, what a life. Not a bad gig if you can get it.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We had no banana expertise, but we had a lot of banana questions.
We did, and then all of a sudden on the phone line, there she was.
Dawn McLaughlin.
Man.
McLaughlin. Whatever. I can't pronounce your last name. I apologize.
McLaughlin. That's all right.
Produce coordinator of the Midwest for Whole Foods. Welcome back, Dawn. You'll pick NFL games later. Happy New Year.
You guys, I missed you so much.
Dawn,
it's been a long month.
We hope you don't mind, but you're known as Banana Lady in these parts. We know you're more than that, which is why we have more questions. But it's not so bad to be Banana Lady on a sports talk show in Chicago, I suppose.
I mean, I'm proud of it.
Good. So text line 67011, all of your produce questions for Dawn. We will get NFL picks at the end. What's with the – do we have – my wife is obsessed with avocados. She is the typical white millennial woman. I've got a lot of avocado questions for you, Dawn. Mainly, is there any trick to picking an avocado that could last more than a day?
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, so avocados are a very personal experience, truthfully. And it's kind of the same with bananas, with the different stages of banana ripening. It's the same way with avocados. So it's a little tricky for us at Whole Foods or in the industry to really target the correct ripeness for the avocado based on what a bunch of customers need. Because some are looking for avocados that are ready right away that they can make guacamole with. Some want to wait 2 to 3 days before they ripen. So it's really just about texture. So you would just hold the avocado and how long does she want the avocado to wait for? Like a day or two before it goes?
Yeah, probably like two to three days if possible so that she can do it. You know, she so healthy. I like to cook it. It could sandwich, yeah. All that stuff.
Okay. I got you. So, yeah, you would just hold it and then it should have a little bit of a give in the texture. But it shouldn't be so soft where you can like almost push a hole into the avocado or like dent it. And that would be the perfect staging for a 2 to 3 day kind of avocado ripeness.
Okay.
But also, if she gets one that's like a hard baseball, you know, that has, it's not ripe at all, you could just throw it in a brown paper bag with an apple or a banana and just, you know, tie up the brown paper bag and let that sit for like a day, and that avocado will be ready way sooner.
Interesting. All right, so that's
just
what
blew my mind.
Yeah, that is absolutely mind blowing. So that's what to do with the uncut avocado. Is there anything to be done once you cut the avocado to make it last more than like 6 hours? I mean, it browns immediately, gets filthy. What do we do?
Yeah, lime or lemon, anything, any kind of citric acid that you can spray onto the avocado or into the guacamole is going to help preserve the greenness of the guacamole or the avocado. It just, when air hits it, it that's when it becomes brown, because it kind of oxidates, and that's where you get the brown kind of layer on the guacamole or on the avocado. So squirt some lemon over it, mix it in, and that should be fine. It should help. Or if you cut the avocado in half and you only used half of the avocado, take the pit and leave it in the other side of the avocado.
Mm.
And that pit is going to help it not go brown as well. Leaving
wow.
the pit intact.
See?
And so that would work with store-bought guacamole also? Like if I squeeze some lime or lemon into that?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Game changer.
Most common.
I know. I'm changing lives.
You really are. You really are. Most common item being asked about on the text lines right now, mangoes. Why are mango prices so volatile? And what are the keys to picking a good and delicious sweet mango?
Well, mango prices are just about seasonality, you know. So it's what mango is in season and where, and can we get our hands on it, and what's the cost that we can get it at. When they're in season, they're a stellar price, which is usually, you know, March, April, May, that kind of time frame. That's when the cost goes down. But we get limited in season as we travel into the winter, or where we get them from travels into winter. So they just become more expensive is all. And then, for mangoes, same thing. I mean, if you get the mango and it's a hard rock, it's going to take that mango probably a week to ripen up. So you want to have a little give on the mango, just like you would on the avocado. So where it's a little bit soft to the touch would be the best, you know, way to get that mango right. And then, again, the mangoes are kind of personal, too. People eat them at all types of different ripeness, but it's all about the touch of the mango. You're not really going to tell anything from the skin color. You're not going to tell much from the skin color of an avocado either. You really have to touch the product.
Dawn McLaughlin, the a hero, basically, is what we're calling you now. You are our produce hero, answering the questions of our audience and us. I feel like there's a lot of commonality then across this in terms of judging produce based on texture, firmness, etc.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, there have been studies done, because, you know, everything's going online, right? I mean, you could buy everything online. But produce tends to struggle when you're shopping it online. And the research just shows that customers want to touch the product and see the product because people want it at all different stages of ripeness. So it's hard to order online, you know, so they really want to come into the stores and see that product firsthand.
Dawn, I love strawberries. I'm having some right now, as a matter of fact.
While we're waiting for pizza,
While we're waiting for pizza. But I've always struggled as to the best way to extend the life and health of my strawberries once I bring them home. Lately, I've taken to cutting them fairly early and then putting them in Tupperware. How do you feel about that? Or should they be kept outside the refrigerator, in the refrigerator?
No, keep them in the fridge. So rule of thumb is however you bought it in the grocery store is really how you should care for it at home.
But they're not in the fridge. They're not in the fridge at the grocery store. They're sitting on the counter there in the produce department usually.
Well, they should be in the fridge. They should be kept cool. Usually if strawberries are going on sale, a lot of times grocers will pull them off of the or out of the coolers and put them on the tables because they're on promo and they just move so quickly. But they should be kept cool. And then at your home, same thing. You should keep them cool. Don't wash them before you put them in the fridge. Like, don't put them under water and then store them in the fridge. Mm. Only wash them as you're about to eat them. And that's going to help the life of them as well. And I wouldn't necessarily cut them like you do, only because it's going to dry out. And then if you put them in a Tupperware container that has the lid sealed, they do need some air. So you're kind of taking that air. So you're ruining your strawberries.
I'm doing this wrong on like four levels.
We're back to the gas chamber conversation about you got to give your fruit air. It's all very confusing.
I don't want to suffocate my strawberries.
No.
Can I tell you, strawberries is an underappreciated berry or fruit. I'm telling you, there's I'm going to talk about Driscoll's for a minute, but Driscoll's has something called Driscoll's University that offers education to people like me or my team that we would go out to their farms in California and learn about growing them and picking them and whatnot. But it is one of the most labor-intensive products to pick and package, and they just don't get enough love, I think, from the community of the actual farm workers that touch each strawberry. I'm telling you, each strawberry gets picked by a person.
Wow.
And strawberry fields run really low, like the shrubs are low. So there's a lot of bending and like a lot of, it's very difficult. And someone literally touched each berry in that package and packaged them just precisely in that container. So every once in a while, when you see a berry go bad in your container, don't hate the whole package. You know, berries are going to go bad, but someone really put a lot of genuine care into getting that product to you in a very labor-intensive kind of way. So
Dawn, what else do you love as much as you love produce?
Oh, my God. I know. I'm a loser. You guys, I get it. I know. That's why I think it's funny that you guys think this is so interesting.
Oh, it's the best. What's
our listeners love it. You're passionate, Dawn. We need people like you.
Yes. What is the most overrated produce and most underrated produce?
Oh, good question. I'm kind of over kale. Everyone is like, kale was like a big thing.
Yeah. Amen.
And I'm over kale. And then personally, avocados are super trendy right now. Like, it's, you know, they're opening up restaurants that do straight avocado everything. Mm. So, and I love avos. I mean, they're very healthy. So avos. I guess that. And then, sorry, that's, you know, business slang. And then,
what other fruit vernacular do we not know?
Those straws.
Straws. Sorry, we do say straws. Oh, God. And then I do love cauliflower rice. I think it is trendy, but it's an awesome substitute. And if you guys haven't tried cauliflower in the form of rice, honestly, you cannot taste the difference between the two. It's phenomenal.
I love cauliflower. I like to puree cauliflower. There's all sorts of stuff you can do with it.
Google like a recipe for cauliflower fried rice and start eating it. I'm telling you, it is a game changer.
All right. Can you give me one weird fruit that is available that I have been afraid to try that I should try and I shouldn't be freaked out by? Because there's always a couple like that.
It's kind of funny because I don't really like to eat. I'm a meat and potatoes kind of girl, and I get made fun of a lot at work for this.
How could that be? Dawn, I think I love you.
No, I know. So I get made fun of all the time because there's a lot of stuff that I sell that I haven't actually tasted, which is hysterical. But there is something called jackfruit, which I know a lot of people get a kick of when they're in the store. It's a massive fruit. I mean, you could Google it probably right now, but it's probably twice the size of a football. It's a big piece of fruit. And if you bought it whole, I mean, I think it would cost you $60 to $80. But wow. We cut it up for customers, you know. So a lot of times we'll bring in jackfruit for the show of it just to cause some excitement for those people that get excited over jackfruit. And then we cut it up, you know, for those customers that also like to eat it. But I would say that's probably the most unique one.
Sounds good.
You are our produce hero, the banana lady, Dawn. We're going to have you back on our one-year anniversary show, January 17th, so clear your calendars. But to more pressing matters, as you are our celebrity picker this week, Titans at Chiefs. Chiefs are an 8.5-point favorite. Who do you like?
Titans
plus the 8.5.
Okay.
And if you have any sort of like fruit level analysis for these games, I'd be very interested in them.
Wait. Can I pause you real quick? I don't want to take up too much time. But real quick, back to avocados. So this is just a fun fact because I think it's fun.
Dawn.
You know that 54 million pounds of guacamole are going to be eaten for the Super Bowl? 54 million pounds of guacamole.
That's insane.
That should be enough.
And that's just at my house.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then 140 million pounds of avocados are going to sell, like the individual avocados. Wow. That's massive. All right, go back to Falcons and Rams.
Freaking millennials. All right, Rams-Falcons. The Rams are 5.5-point favorite. Who does Dawn the produce hero like?
I'm going to say Rams are going to cover that spread.
Rams minus 5.5. She knows the lingo. Carolina at New Orleans. Saints minus 7. Who do you like?
Okay, I know this is going to be a close game either way, but I have to say, personally, I haven't gotten over the Saints and their whole bounty gate, and so I just haven't moved past that, so I'm going to take Panthers.
Okay. Panthers plus 7. Thank you, Dawn. You're lovely, and we'll have to have you back again soon to answer more questions.
Yeah. No, I would love it. Thank you so much.
Hey, all right. That's, Dawn, you're the best.
That's Dawn McLaughlin, Danny, the produce coordinator of the Midwest for Whole Foods.
Danny, let me know when you're going to take your next day off.
yeah, no question.
I want to host with Dawn. We could do 4 hours just so easily. I love this one texture. Could you guys shut up and just let Dawn talk like forever?
Can't be just mouths. Seriously.
Yes.
She was great.
Shut the hell up.
I think we're all in love.
Well, I mean, we're even you guys, even the I'm Fat podcast, you guys loved her when she ripped kale, didn't you?
Yeah, oh, that was great.
Kale is trash.
She said she's a steak and potatoes lady.
She's a Southsider.
I know people that know Dawn.
Wow.
And she's a Southsider.
Well, she's ours. She's not
Jay Booker for the 1 year show.
Yeah, she's not allowed to go on any other radio show in this town. Yeah. She's ours.
No.
Keep her away from WGN.
And we're not against fruit. We're against vegetables.
Okay.
Vegetables are the devil.
Got it. It's an important clarification that you're making there, Campy. All right, we will follow it up with something worse. I can guarantee you that.
I'm going to throw out these strawberries.
Yeah, you're treating them horribly. It's Spiegelman Park.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I'm a meat and potatoes kind of girl.
After she said that, Spiegs... The text line was just filled with people saying, is Dawn single? Is Dawn single? Is Dawn single?
Somebody wanted a calendar, a produce calendar, but only with pictures of Dawn and produce.
Dawn is not single. How could Dawn be single? Yeah, think about that.
She what got scooped up. That's a catch right there. I like, oh, it's March. Here's Dawn with blueberries. Lounging.
Did she say she would come on the 1 year show January 17th?
Yes.
Nice.
We have questions.
We got so many more questions.
Man, I love August. Laying Dawn an entire field of avos. Avos. Straws.
That sports content was brought to you by Burlington. Hurry into your Burlington store and save on the hottest workout gear like tops and bottoms with mesh and lace-up details, plus sneakers, wireless headphones, too. Burlington style for everyone.
The Super Bowl nugget made it sports conversation.
That's what I'm saying.
She picked games. What are you talking about?
She picked games.
Well, that too. But, you know.
She included the avocado content for the Super Bowl.
She mentioned Bounty Gate. She knows things.
Yeah.
She can host here.
She said, cover easily. That spread. Oh, yeah. Easily. She's coming for our jobs. Yeah,
well, she can have them. What the hell?
She's qualified.
My God. I am ashamed of the way that I have been handling my strawberries. I mean, I thought I had figured it out. Because for years I have dealt with like, oh, man, the strawberries are moldy already. What happened? Do I put them in the fridge? Do I not? And she's just, you know, I've been cutting them up and suffocating them and mutilating them. I've been having a strawberry holocaust like every week at my house. And
what is it with you and produce and holocaust?
Yeah, it is getting a little weird.
Look, it just feels bad happened to my family and produce in this world.
Okay. I'm glad that they're in line with the avocado situation, too. Like, they're just... It's getting a little ridiculous. They're opening up storefronts. She's like, I love a good avo. She's got slang terms and nicknames for them.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Seriously.
Hashtag white people.
And you think so?
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
But, I mean, there was
18 to 34 year old.
There's a lot of wisdom in there about using the citrus to keep the avocado green.
No question.
And take it away from being brown. Because once it's brown, it's like, it doesn't even look appetizing, even if it's still good.
Right. It takes it away. But yeah. You can eat it, but it doesn't taste as good. Right, or feel
exactly.
as good. Yeah. 100 million for John Gruden.
Coach
Derek Carr.
$100 million.
$100 million.
Well, Oakland for a year or two, right?
Oakland for a year or two, and then Vegas.
Do you want him to succeed? Do you have a dog in that fight? Are you invested at all?
No, it'll be more interesting with him there. I thought he was totally overrated as a broadcaster.
You did?
Yeah, like on the games. I thought the Gruden QB camp, great.
Phenomenal.
I think he's great on the draft. Like I think the studio stuff was great because he had to have an opinion, even if it was mostly positive.
Mm-hmm.
The game stuff, the constant positivity was nauseating because you could see a negative play and he would skew it to be positive.
Yes.
And I didn't find found his lack of a critical eye in game to be problematic.
Certainly. But there was still, even when he was annoying to you in that way, I thought I would still learn stuff. I would still learn stuff. But
he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. It'll be interesting now to see which way they go, especially after the rookie, Tony Romo, is heralded now as pretty much the best in the business. Like, I mean, people have gone to that place that quickly with Tony Romo. So will they take a flyer on somebody brand new and fresh off the field? Bruce Arians is very intriguing to me. I don't know if he'd want to do it. I don't know if he has an aptitude for just talking that much, that consistently, and if he'd want to study it and have a passion for it at this point in his life.
I don't know if there's much wow factor there with that type of hire. Like, you call Peyton Manning and make him say no, and he probably will say no.
And once he does,
you are going to probably go cheap for a year or two.
Did you guys see the odds?
No.
No.
All right, Peyton Manning's your favorite. 225. Lewis Riddick, 4.5 to 1.
He's awfully fantastic. Good.
Absolutely fantastic.
Arian, 7 to 1. Mm-hmm. Kurt Warner, 8-1. Matt Hasselbeck, 9-1.
In-house.
Tim Tebow, 10-1.
Oh, God.
Randy Moss, 12-1. Phil Sims, 20-1. Rex Ryan, 25. And then 2 at 100-1. John Madden and Bill Belichick.
Okay, that's lighting your money on fire. Randy Moss is really interesting. I think he's gotten a lot better as he's gone on countdown. He already travels to the games, so that would not be a problem.
Right.
Peyton's the obvious favorite. Kurt Warner has such little game experience that talk about a jump, right? I mean, Romo did it, so I guess you could argue that he could do it.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have as little as you think. He's been doing Westwood One radio stuff
TV
for
game experience.
A couple of years. Yeah,
TV game
not too much TV game experience. Yeah. I was not too much of a fan of his when he did the Bears and Lions, I believe, was the NFL Network game.
Yeah, that Saturday game.
But Lewis Riddick is really good. And he might not be entertaining, but in a Mike Mayock way, give you some very hardcore good stuff.
He's fantastic. We are doing a best of podcast, all right? So when you check it out, we're going to be doing a best of podcast each and every day. It'll be in your feed and all that, so check that out. But we'll transition with Goff and Holmes next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.